Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. All-knowing God, who sent Jesus to this earth to demonstrate your rule of love, we recognize your offspring, Jesus, as head of the church, guide and judge for our individual lives. Help us to listen and learn so that we may behave, even now, as residents of your realm. Amen.
When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you and have taken possession of it and settled in it, and you say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me, you may indeed set over you a king whom the Lord your God will choose. One of your own community you may set as king over you. You are not permitted to put a foreigner over you who is not of your own community. Even so, he must not acquire many horses for himself or return the people to Egypt in order to acquire more horses. Since the Lord has said to you, you must never return that way again. And he must not acquire many wives for himself, or else his heart will turn away. Also, silver and gold he must not acquire in great quantity for himself. When he has taken the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. It shall remain with him, and he shall read it in all the days of his life, so that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, diligently observing all the words of this law and these statutes, neither exalting himself above other members of the community, nor turning aside from the commandment, either to the right or to the left, so that he and his descendants may reign long over his kingdom in Israel. And from the book of Psalms, rise up, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the oppressed. Why do the wicked renounce God and say in their hearts, you will not call us to account? But you do see, indeed, you note trouble and grief, that you may take it into your hands. The helpless commit themselves to you. You have been the helper of the orphan. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoers. Seek out their wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations shall perish from his land. O Lord, you will hear the desire of the meek. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice for the orphan and the oppressed, so that those from earth may strike terror no more. And lastly, from the book of Revelation. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. They will wage war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name inscribed, King of kings and Lord of lords. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, Lord, be acceptable to you, Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. So today is the last Sunday of the church year. The church year. We have a church year. The church year starts with Advent, the birth of the baby, Jesus, the Savior. The church year tracks the life of Jesus from the birth all the way through to this Sunday, which is called the Reign of Christ or Christ the King Sunday week. It is also typically falls before the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States, where we give thanks for all the blessings that we have had in our nation, in our families, all the blessings that we have gotten, God has given us through the past year. And it's also a time when we think about the diversity we have, because we have a story for Thanksgiving that's about the Indians and the pilgrims, right? The pilgrims who came from Europe and they were fleeing from monarchy, the oppression of monarchy, and the Roman Church that had gone a little bit off the rails at that point, since kind of pulled back. Good. But our diversity in the natives and the immigrants coming together in peace and with blessing. We sing traditional songs. We'll sing a few in a minute or two. So this is called the Reign of Christ, or Christ the King Sunday on the church calendar, because it finishes up the church year designed to trace the life of Christ through the return of Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, foretold in the books of Matthew, Luke, Acts, Thessalonians, Hebrews, Titus, Revelation, among others that were read today. Revelation was read today. So we celebrate the reign of Christ here and not yet, present, not yet, in the return. And for the reign of Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I am thankful because it is present with us today in you and me. You, are you thankful? Will you be thanking God for Christ around your tables? I will be. But it's probably a misnomer to call Christ a king in the human sense, because the idea of king is not particularly uplifting in the Bible if you've read it. I mean, is it anywhere? We don't have kings in this country for good reason. For good reason. We've not had a king. We have elected leaders. It's a government of the people and judges, just like God intended. And nor did Jesus embrace that title of king himself. In fact, Jesus talks about a kingdom. That's all over the place in the Bible. But he doesn't identify as the king. Others call him king. Other books, other things, other people call him king. And it's there. I get it. Such as the fulfillment of Zechariah 9 when Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem as king. But he doesn't about himself. Instead, what he says about himself is, I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the true vine, the bread of life, meaning a guide, a leader, an authority, a protector, a sustainer, a source of inspiration. Of course, from the beginning of the biblical writings, God is, of course, sovereign, but also guide, friend, help in trouble. Not an overlord. In fact, Jesus told his disciples in Mark chapter 10, it is absolutely not like a tyrant that you will lead, though you will lead disciples or govern. No, you will be servants. You will be servants of all. Can you imagine their faces when they heard this? You will not be leading as, you know, the sovereign. You get to tell people what to do. You will be a servant. Let that sink in. What kind of a world allows for that? The king is a servant of all. In the past, God had said, I would like you to set up judges when you go into the promised land, priests. And if you insist in the Deuteronomy scripture that you heard, which is not in lectionary, by the way, none of the scriptures you heard today are in lectionary. And if you don't know what lectionary is, see me later. But that's the scripture that we go by. Churches go by every, it's only a quarter of the Bible, really, that you're going to hear if the church uses lectionary every week from the scriptures. But anyway, I digress. It's not what we heard in that scripture as God was saying, well, if you insist, I'll give you a king. It's got to be one I choose. But, you know, it's not what you're thinking. The instructions in Deuteronomy are fairly specific. Not too many wives, not too much money, not too much army. Know the law, be with the people, don't take yourself away from the people, and give them what they need on the day. Not an overlord, not an authority that has to be submitted to. Turns out people did want a king, so they got some. If you read the history in the Old Testament, they got some. It didn't work out well most of the time. A couple of hundred years after, actually 1,000 years after that, it kept falling apart. But God with the people the whole time, guiding and leading, showing them what God meant. History's there to read. You can read it in the Bible. You can read it in other literature. You can read it on the internet. Anyone can these days if you have the internet. And many people, most people do. So it's all there. It's all there. So why didn't it work well? Because power corrupts humans. Power corrupts humans. We don't have the capacity to be a ruler, a king like Jesus. So enter Jesus at the end of those 1,000 years. Do you think that was plan B or plan A? All the time. To bring Jesus into the world, to show God to the world, to show the ideas of God's thoughts, not ours, to the world. The plan to put things right was spoken of, though, in the prophet Jeremiah, by the prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 31, and repeated in the book of Hebrews afterwards. And this is it. When God said they will no longer need to be taught, but they will have the law in their hearts. They will have the goodness of God, the kingdom per se, in their hearts. These followers will know in their hearts what is good and right. And they will change things for the good, from life sacrifice to moral ethics. Problem is, people make mistakes. So a dual purpose for Jesus was to come and tell the world that your sins can be forgiven, your mistakes are covered. It's genius, really. This is the reign of Christ. It's the rule of love. Jesus said those two commandments are all we need. Love God, love people. As yourself. Don't forget yourself. You can love yourself, just not more than everybody else. It's not about dominance and submission. It's about serving. Serving each other in love and equality. This is the kingdom that Jesus kept talking about, that is present now and will be forever, says the scripture, forever. This is the great light for those who sat in darkness that we hear about in Advent, the great light of Christ's birth, the great light that is the Holy Spirit in the hearts of people, so they will know and do justice without writing of rules in books or teaching of priests. Whatever mistakes they make will be redeemed by the giving of his life, Jesus, who is indeed king, but not the kind we see here in this world among us. Christ is ruler and leader by right of the teaching, death, and rising of himself. And this is why Advent and Christmas is so compelling. The work of Jesus is so compelling, few can resist its power. How many of you out there know someone who's not a Christian that celebrates Christmas? Anybody? I know some. It's great, right? Gifts and kings and a great story about a baby. It's compelling. The words of Jesus are also, all of them. How many of you know who Albert Einstein is? Everybody probably knows that. Who that person is, died in 1955. Yeah. Theory of relativity, knows more about physics and the universe and how it works than anybody. All those things that he said are kind of bearing themselves out with quantum mechanics and all kinds of amazing things in the world. Well, anyway, this is what he said in an interview slightly before he died. Quote, he's an avowed agnostic, by the way, not an atheist. Agnostic, he didn't know. But he saw the world. He saw the universe and how it works together. Anyway, this is what he said. I am a Jew, but I am enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene, who is Jesus, the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth. And he goes on, no one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. Let me say that again. He said, I am a Jew, but I am enthralled. Wow, what's the root of that word? By the luminous, the light of the figure of Jesus, the Nazarene. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. That's what he said in an interview. That's what he felt. This, the words of Jesus jump off the page as real and authentic to him, even. Yeah. That rule of love brought to us, you know, in those two commandments, love God, love people, are the growth of that kingdom of God that lives in you, in your heart, the Holy Spirit. That rule of love is the crux. And that word today, crux, comes from cross. The crux, the center of the reign of Christ. So at present, instead of a temple of violent animal sacrifice, we have churches of grace and love. That's an improvement. And that is what Jesus built in his ministry. He created the church, buildings or not, based on love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are the results, the fruit of the Holy Spirit that lives in us as the kingdom of God. And that is what we celebrate now. At the end of the church year, the finished work, but not yet complete work of Christ before we launch into again the birth of the Savior. We celebrate the finished work of the Savior and how far the world has gotten since the start of it 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years, think about that one. We're still talking about it. Why? Because it's compelling. It's certainly something to be thankful for, isn't it? The Holy Spirit working through people like you and like me. And in the future, they will continue because you know what? Not everyone gets it. I don't know if you've seen The Chosen, but every so often Jesus says, character of Jesus says, you know, not everyone's going to get it. That's where you come in, to help people get it. Those who do, like the disciples of old, are called to make it happen. And that's you and that's me. In your everyday lives, doesn't need to be anything special you do. And I am thankful. I am thankful for you, and I'm thankful for all who have gone before us that can tell that story to the world so we can bring that kingdom into fruition here. That kingdom that doesn't forget the oppressed. That kingdom that doesn't oppress. That kingdom of equality, love, truth, and care. This is the end that God has in mind for the future. The scriptures say Christ will return at one time, celebrated and glorified. Everyone will acknowledge Jesus as the Christ. Why not? It's good stuff. The firstborn of humanity, filled with God, truly reflecting God's image, and will reign as leader, servant, both spiritual and physical, not an overlord or authoritarian, but a leader of justice, grace, mercy, and love. So on this day, when we come up to that Thanksgiving holiday, I am thankful, and thanks be to God for this compelling mystery carried down through ages past to our presence, our present, and our future. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.